Thank you, brother. So, I guess I didn't really formally introduce my family in Sunday school, so I want to go ahead and do that real quick. Shame on me, right? Thank you for being honest. This is my wife, Holly. We have been married 22 years now. I was 18 when we got married, so it's a... Today's society, that's kind of a rarity, isn't it? But we have two children, wonderful children. Gracie, who is 19 years old. She's currently getting her teaching degree and working two jobs, full-time job and a part-time job. So she's learning what it's like to live in the real world. And then my son, he is a senior in high school. He plays basketball and works on cars, whatever he can do. And he will graduate this year, and his plan is to go to college. And he's not 100% sure, but he knows it's going to be missionary-minded, whether it's teaching or ministry or something. So we got some conversating to do and figuring things out with him. But they are both going to attend Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, this coming fall. So, you know, as you pray for us, I would ask that you pray for them as well, as they have a lot going on in their lives as well. So not sure what their future holds for them, but God's working in their lives, and we are blessed about that. So today, I was asked just to preach a normal message for a morning service. And you ever have that time when you're in God's Word, and you keep getting taken back to the same section of Scripture over and over and over again, and you don't know why? You try and get out of it. You try your best to get out of that section, but it just, God keeps taking you right back to it. Well, for me, lately, that has been Psalms 37. And if you could open your Bible to there, I'll be using that Scripture for the main part of our service. And as I read through this, really the first seven verses is what really had struck me the most. Psalms 37 is a psalm that David wrote. And David wrote this in his old age. It specifically says, I have been young and am now old, in verse 25. So he is an old, seasoned veteran of life. We all know that David has experienced much more than probably any of us could say. Been through a lot in his life, ups and downs. And it's amazing to read this scripture and just to see his wisdom that he has grown from all the experiences of his life. Kind of like sitting at an old man's feet, isn't it? It's kind of like, well, you get to open God's word and just see the wisdom of these men who have been through so much. It's a beautiful thing. But the title of my message is literally the first two words: fret not. Fret not. There's a funny story that I heard. I'm not 100% sure if it's true. It's kind of a funny story. I'd like to open with it, and then we'll pray. There was a fire. Some of you may have heard this. I know you've heard this. There's a fire in a forest in California, and this newsman, he's there to go get pictures of this fire and to write a story about this fire and everything. So the news article, the newspaper tells him, we got a plane for you. It's going to fly over the fire. We're going to take some snapshots. I got a photographer. We'll take some snapshots of this fire, and we can put it in our newspaper. So he's like, okay, you got to rush down there. You got to hurry, though. Go. So he drives down there as fast as he can. He gets in there. He sees a plane running on the runway. He runs out to the plane. He hops in. He's like, okay, go, 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 go. So they get up in the air, and this pilot's like, okay. Okay, fly over that fire. We're going to get a few snapshots, and we can land. And the pilot's like, why? Well, why are you going to fly over the fire? Well, I'm a newsman. We have a photographer, and we're going to write an article in the newspaper. And the pilot goes, oh, you're not the flight instructor? That's a time to fret, isn't it? That's when you start fretting. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for strong churches that stand in your word. Thank you for Brother Sinski, who stands strong for your word, Lord, and I just pray that he can be a blessing to this church. Lord, and I just pray as I stand up here today that I don't get in your way. I let you use me. I let you open the word to your word to these people today, that we can be an encouragement, Lord, and that you can be seen in all that's said and done throughout this service. We love you, we praise you, and thank you in Jesus' name. All right, fret not. So Psalms 37, it's a psalm of comfort. Like I said, it's a psalm of wisdom, a wisdom and a seasoned veteran of life, a psalm of comfort in difficult times and hardships, a psalm of direction, and a psalm of a direction for God's will in your life. So there's a lot of wisdom here, but this whole comfort in difficult times. Are we going through difficult times? I could say every generation has had something in their life they can call difficult times. And it's pretty obvious what everyone's going through today. I mean, division. It's been so difficult. Even division, I've seen the division even in Christianity in general. I mean, I don't want to get into politics too much, but just think of the division of the vaccine has divided churches, hasn't it? It's horrible. I mean, I can't understand how, I mean, we have a decision to make, but yet we decide to hate on others who don't feel the same way we do. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to deal with. It's difficult times. Mask, no mask. Who cares? I mean, seriously, what does it matter in the end? What does the vaccine matter? What does the mask matter in the end? What matters is God's word. Yet we're fretting over silly things that don't really matter. Eternity matters. This life that we're living right now, it doesn't matter unless we're living it for Christ. So old age, we want to sit at an old person's feet and learn wisdom right now. Psalm 37. How do we look at old age today? We dye our hair. We go get Botox. We want to hide that old age. We don't respect that old age. We don't seek wisdom from old age because we want to hide it. We want to look young. We want to look hip. We want to look perfect. Yet, old age comes with wisdom. It comes with experience. It comes with life. They have a lot to share. I look through here. There's many of you. You have a lot to share. You have a lot of life experience. You want to share it with the younger generation. Was the younger generation seeking that wisdom? Maybe not always. And we need to. We need to. So let's sit here and sit at an old man's feet and just learn from his words. Ultimately, God's words. So, and Psalms 37 it's got some interesting characters to it. It's a poetic book. It's a book of truths. And it's written in poetic form. Yet we miss something. We miss something really kind of neat in this from the Hebrew. The original Hebrew, it is an acrostic psalm, which I find really neat. Acrostic psalm is every line is written through the alphabet. So in the Hebrew alphabet, I'm not 100%, I don't know Hebrew. Anyone know Hebrew? So basically, our alphabet is A, B, C. Every line will start with, so say, I'm going to write a story. Animals are neat. Next line, bats are scary. Next line, cats are dumb. I love cats. I like to throw that in there because I think dogs are great. So it'd be like that. So why would they do this? Why would David write this in acrostic form? Well, ultimately, I believe it's for memorization purposes. We do the same thing nowadays. We have our little limericks and things like that where we learn and we can memorize them a lot easier. Well, David's doing the same thing. He's making it easy to memorize, something that they can study, because these psalms are so important. These are God's words. It's a wonderful thing to memorize. I mean, if I could memorize the entire book of Psalms, that would be amazing. The problem is I have trouble memorizing one verse. I just don't have the memory. I mean, it's definitely a shortcoming that I'm trying to overcome. But it starts out with two words. Fret not. Are we fretting today? And what are we fretting about? What do we fret over? Stupid stuff. I couldn't say it better myself. What does the word fret really mean, though? And that's what's important. What does the word fret really mean? Is it worrying? Is it being anxious? Is it being afraid or fearful? Kind of. It's kind of all those things. Actually, it's more than that. The word for this fret is kara. I can't say it right because I don't speak the language, but kara. And it's interesting how what it says here, it says glow or grow warm, blaze up of anger, zeal or jealousy, kindled or grow warm. It's meaning get angry, become vexed and worn down. Now, the Webster talks about being vexed and worn down as well. So literally means you're getting angry or worn down. It's an anxiety that turns to anger. Now, that's interesting. Do we see that today? Anxiety that turns to anger? It's everywhere. So I look at this and I some worry to the point of depression. That's pretty common. We see that a lot. We're so worried that we get depressed. Some get tired from worrying, get worn out, get tired. Some, they get the term, worry yourself sick. Literally feel sick that you're worrying so much. I'm sure at some point we've all been there. But it's interesting to look at this. And you know those people, I'm kind of one of them, say, oh, they're pretty laid back. They don't get excited about things too much, then you don't worry a lot. I'm even one of those people who at times say, what are you worrying about that? Don't worry about that so much. Yet inside, I am getting anxious and worrying, and I just don't show it. Yet, I'll get angry over stupid things. This is something I really, when I started reading this, I'm like, wow, I do that. Yeah, I look cool and composed on the outside, and I can show, oh, don't worry about it. Everything will work out in the end. God's got this handled. Yet I'm still worrying, but then it comes out as anger. Not about the specific thing that I'm worried about, but about other things. I think we all can show that at times. And that's really what you know, David's talking about here. Is that, you know, inside anger, you know, the inside worry that turns out into that, into the anger. So we're looking at David here. And David, did he have anxiety and things to worry about in his life? I mean, he was king, but, you know. But I look at the time that he was King Saul. King Saul didn't always like David, did he? There was a time where King Saul, he wanted him dead. He tried to kill him multiple times. I mean, spears flying at him. And King Saul was not a guy that you wanted on the wrong side, right? He's a big man, strong man, seasoned in military. And David had to run from him. He ran from him for a very small or very large amount of time. And we look at in Psalms 125, David had a small army with him. Had about 600 people, and he's out running away, trying to hide from King Saul. Now, If you look at that time period, you have a small army. How do you feed them? How do you take care of them? Well, we look back in history and we see during that time, they would go and protect farms, and the farms would take care of them. So there was a lot of people in that time period that would rob from these farms and steal from them, marauders and other thieves like that. They would steal from them and take their flocks, take their food, take their crops, whatever they wanted, they just take it. Well, these armies would protect from that. It happened all the time. There's nothing these people could do about it. So they protect him. And there was one time that he was protecting one farm, and the man was named Nabal. Does anyone know what Nabal means? It means fool. I found that just really interesting. So this is a wealthy farmer, very wealthy farmer. And David's been protecting him for a length of time. And it time to kind of pay up and take care of this army that's been protecting him. Even his shepherds are out there saying, yeah, they protect us at night. They're taking care of us. And they're nice to us. It literally says they're nice to us. They're not mean. They're nice to us. I mean, they literally could go in and take whatever they wanted. It's David's strong army. I mean, David's army wasn't one of those, you know, little kind of, okay, they're an army. But this is like, oh, these men are elite. These are the best of the best. So it's time to pay up. And what does Nabal say? David who? Who's this David character? He knows who David is. Come on. He'd be like saying, Donald Trump who? I mean, one person in this world doesn't know who Donald Trump is. It's like, who's David? You know, and so David is going through a lot at this time. He's got a lot of anxiety. He's got a lot of worry. And he legitimately has things to worry about, correct? An army is trying to kill him. So David gets a little angry. It gets extremely angry to the point where he's saying, I'm going to kill every man in this village. He uses some pretty interesting words there. But every man in this village is going to die because of one man. Is that right? It's probably not the right decision. It's probably pretty foolish on his part too, but he's doing it out of anger. Now, along comes Nabal's wife. Her name's Abigail. She comes in with donkeys full of food, full of crops, sheep, everything that they need, everything that they're asking for, and says, on me put this iniquity. It's my fault. Save these men. They have nothing to do with it. So she basically saves the day. Now, the scripture does say she's a very beautiful woman, and David has a weakness, and that's beautiful women. So, to make the long story short, Nabal hears about what his wife has done and turns to stone. Well, then you got Abigail. So, of course, being a beautiful woman, David marries Abigail. And happily ever after, right? But what about this? If David would have went through with this, it would have been horrific, wouldn't it? It would have been horrible. Every man in this village, innocent men that had nothing to do with the foolish Nabal, it would have been murder. It would have been a pretty bad sin. But all because he was angry out of anxiety. So David knows a lot about this. He knows what he's talking about here. We can trust that what he's saying is true. So let's get into it. Verse 1 and 2 say, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Evildoers. So what do you think of evildoers in today's society? I mean, we've got plenty of evildoers in today's society, don't we? I mean, just go to Hollywood. Think of Hollywood in general. Evildoers. Singers, actors. You know, the beauty, the smoke, the music, the cool, the popular. You know, famous, the rich, just everything. They have everything, right, that the world could desire. They're attractive, and they're attractive. They really attract the younger people. That's their target. It's not you seasoned people that have been around for years, because you know better. You know that they're just hiding something, but the younger generation, they see this, and they're like, wow, that's so cool. I mean, compare it to the nerdy Christian. I consider myself a nerdy Christian. You know, Psalm 73, Psalm of Asaph, talks about being jealous of the wicked and how they prosper. He's just so upset about all these evil people and how they prosper and how they're getting richer and they're getting everything they want. Yet, in the end, he speaks of how their paths are set in a slippery place and they will be cast down to destruction. It will be brought to desolation and consumed with terror. We can read in Revelations that terror. It's pretty scary. And in Isaiah 5:20 it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's all over today's society. And it's just getting worse. It's amazing every time I read some sort of news article or something how they glorify this evil as it's good. This is a good thing, yet we look at the Bible and it's like, man, that is wicked. Look at abortion. If you're pro-life, you're evil, right? I mean, isn't that what today's society says? Because it's the woman's right. It's the woman's choice. Don't get me wrong. I believe that women should have a right and a choice, but not in that. Because that's not their right and that's not their choice. That's a life living inside of them. That's a child. That's a baby. Yet it's just all over the place. LGBTQ, whatever. Man, if you're against that, whoa, you might as well just dig your own grave. Yet we read the Bible, and we know it's evil. We know it's wrong. Turn on any popular TV show today. I've heard of this one. I obviously haven't watched it. I've heard of this one called Squid Game. Anyone heard of that? Oh. It glorifies murdering people. Hundreds of people. That's what today's society is watching. For entertainment. Takes you back to the old Roman days where gladiators, right? And just, oh, let's watch a man get murdered. Christianity in general. Oh, you love a fictional fairy tale? You worship a fictional fairy tale? No, I don't. I worship the true one living God. Amen. Who died for my sins. But yet, we're the idiots. It's all over the place. Evil is good and good is evil. We see it everywhere. And you say anything that goes against what the world believes, and you're the evil one. I thought it was very interesting. This year, we've heard of the Golden Globes, right? Anyone see it this year? Because it wasn't on. I thought that was very interesting. Because in the years past, we see the Golden Globes as a pulpit for these people speaking against Christians, against Christianity, pro-LGBT, how, you know, even Donald Trump is the worst president of all time, and just speaking these things, how it just it's their pulpit to throw out more propaganda and anti-Christian and evil words, just evil words. And yet it wasn't on this year. I thought that was very interesting. I remember seeing a clip, I don't know what her name was, but she got some Golden Globe. She's up there pregnant, visibly pregnant. And she's bragging how she had an abortion at one time. Bragging about murdering her own child for her own gain. I wouldn't be standing here holding this Golden Globe if I hadn't had that abortion. Well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be standing there holding that Golden Globe because you just murdered a child. Yet, they applauded her. The world applauded her because she did that. It's sickening. It really is sickening. But David, really, as he goes on, he shows us how to teach this younger generation, how to show this generation why to stay away from this evil of this world. Because he's seen it. He's seen it. He knows what's there. You know, he says, delight thyself. Oh, sorry. Here we go. For they shall soon be cut down like grass. And wither as the green herb. The truth is in the scriptures. We need to teach our youth this truth that is so evident. We need to focus on his word and make sure we're sharing it. I mean, think about those Hollywood elite. Think about a lot of them in the past. These evildoers. You know, that maybe not from our, you know, physical perspective. Oh, they're not that bad, right? But I want to look at certain stars. How many of you heard of Lil Nas X? Okay, he's a famous rapper. Younger generations loved this guy. He came out with a fun song that was just attracted people, and it was about cheating on your spouse, which was really amazing. But it was fun and it had a cool beat, right? If you listen to the words, you're like, that is evil. Yet he got all this young people to just love him and love him and love him and how wonderful he was. Next song that comes out, his music video, he's dancing on the lap of Satan. Sucked them all in, right? And then exposed the truth. Then he comes out with a shoe that says 666 on it. And it has a Bible verse. I can't remember the reference, but it's talking about the rise of Satan. Just, you know, take a little snippet out of God's word, right? And it says it literally has a drop of human blood in the shoe. You know, he sucks them in with this funness, and then out comes the truth. We see Katy Perry dancing with demonic figures on stage. But it's cool. It's hip. It's fun. And the younger generation idolizes these people. This is their idols. These are who they're idolizing today. Yet in the end, these idols are filled with drugs, alcohol, crime, hate, extreme discontentment, depression. Depression to the point of suicide, many of them. Depression to the point of suicide. But the world doesn't see that as a problem. They just they see that as, oh, well, that's just sad. But we see that as maybe we shouldn't be focused on that. I wish the world would see it for what it really is. I pray the world would see it for what it really is. You know, beauty is temporary. Fame is temporary. At what cost? At what cost are we going to join in with that type of thing? The flesh is so appealing, but it's very temporary. Our focus must be on those things that are eternal. The spiritual things, the things that are in the Bible. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Question is, God, what's your will in my life? It's something I'm sure we all have asked at some point. What is your will in my life? What do you want from me? It's definitely something my wife and I have recently gone through. I mean, we battled with this whole New Zealand or not thing. Not only, you know, the beginning, but even after we've made the choice, when we've decided that that's God's calling, we still struggle with it. Because things come in our life, you're just like, now what? I mean, it takes a lot of trust. And we also have two kids. My daughter's 19, son's 18. They're battling with this right now. I'm sure many of you are. Many of you younger people. What's the choice? Do I go to college? If I do, where? I mean, secular college is a dangerous place, isn't it? But I do truly believe that God calls young people, young Christians, to secular colleges. It's a difficult decision. Spouses. Get to a certain age, you're like, God, there's got to be someone out there for me. Who is it? Jobs. What church do I go to? There's 100 other questions we face in God, what God's will is in our life. And it says here, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know what that means? Do what you know is right. Do what you know is right. And how do we know what's right? God's word. You stay in God's word and you get fed with God's word and you will know what's right. And if you do, you will dwell in the land and be fed. You will be taken care of. You will be provided for. You're at home. You dwell in the land and be fed. You're at home. You're comforted. Now, is it going to be perfect? I don't think it's going to be perfect in your eyes, but God has a plan. And as long as you're in his word and you're doing what you know is right by staying in his word, you will be taken care of. And this flows really nicely into the next verse, a very popular verse that's easily taken out of context. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Ah, great, now I get my Maserati. It's not how it works. So if you're delighting in the Lord and the things of the Lord, he will give you whatever you want, right? No, that's not what it means. You know, it was once said, I wish I could remember who said it, but I know he caught a lot of flack over it. It was once said, love the Lord with all your heart, then do whatever you want. Man, that's actually kind of true. Love the Lord with all your heart and do whatever you want. So, they caught a lot of flack over it, but it's really true. If we're delighting in the things of the Lord, then our desires are going to meet up and fall in line with the things of the Lord. If we're trusting in the Lord, we're loving the Lord with all our heart, our desires will be God's desires. It's a beautiful thing, really. I mean, when I'm really with the Lord, yeah, I would love that brand new F-450, you know, King Ranch, and it'd be so great because, I mean, I could not really ever use it to its full potential. But Yeah, maybe I desire that. But you know what? If I'm really I'm content with what I have. God's really provided wonderful things for me. He's provided me a perfect wife for me, honestly. She's been a blessing in my life. I would not be standing here today if I hadn't married such a wonderful woman. I'm sure Brother R could say the same thing. Behind every great man is a greater woman. I mean, she takes care of our family extremely well. Better than I could ever deserve. But my desires are God's desires, and I want to keep it that way. Verse 5 and 6 say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and the judgment as noonday. Do what you know is right, and God's will be revealed. The right college will be revealed to the young people. As long as you commit your ways to the Lord. The right person will be put in your life. Those of you here in Sunday school, I didn't want to move my senior year of high school, but God had a plan and put the right person in my life. He put me there for a reason. The right job will come your way. You will be shown the right church. Kind of a funny story there about how we found the church we are members of now. We moved to the state of Washington. We knew that there was good churches in the area, but we didn't know which one was right for us. And we had been at our church in Idaho, part of the middle school junior church ministry, and we'd gone to the camp quite a few times. And we actually did this camp with two other churches from the Tri-City area. Now, we lived in Idaho, and there's two Tri-City churches. We'd kind of just meet and do camp together. And we knew of one of the churches, but it was kind of far away from where we were living. There was another church. We could never remember the name of it. Not once could we remember the name of it. But we knew the two gentlemen that we'd go to camp with. And I happened to end up working a night shift on a Wednesday, and my wife had taken a different way to Walmart that she normally hadn't, because she just wanted to drive around, see different things. So she knew there was a different way to get there, so she went that way and drove right past a church called Temple Baptist Church in Richland, Washington. And we still didn't know it was the same church. Like, oh, I'm going to try that one tonight. They have a Wednesday night service. I know you're working, but I'll take the kids there. So she's walking up, she pulls in, starts walking up to the church. The kids are with her, and a gentleman on the outside says, Colton? Well, I was like, what? How? Well, he was one of the leaders at the junior camp, and he recognized Colton. It had been a while. He's like, what are you doing here? And Colton's like, oh, we moved here. I'm like, oh, great. Goes in, lines up at the Master Club line, and he's standing there as a visitor, just lining up with the other boys his age. He's rather outgoing, so he did not have trouble finding friends, like, within 30 seconds. So he's standing there, and the Master Club leader at the time, his brother Steve Panther, he's walking around. He just kind of scans, and he's like, Colton, what are you doing here? Recognized him right away. He's very memorable. And Colton's like, oh, yeah, we moved here. So this is where we live now. And he's like, oh, that's great. So then my wife walks into the sanctuary. She's sitting by herself. Pastor Mike Gilchrist walks by and says, hey, you're new here, introduces himself. Says, oh, don't sit by yourself. Takes her over to another single elderly lady who's sitting by herself. Says, sit with her. This is Jane. You know, and they got to know each other, and it was a great experience for everyone, except for me, because I was at work. But anyways, God provided that church. She didn't have to drive that way and see it. God didn't have to put those men right there to see Colton. Didn't have to happen that way, but God did that. And it's just to me, he will take care of the faithful. He will take care of the faithful. He will reveal his way to you. So what's kind of neat here is this, commit here, it says commit. And here it means roll, like roll on, like let's roll. Like we say, hey, let's roll, let's go. That's what it's saying, commit. It doesn't mean sit there. You know, a trucker say, roll on, keep moving, go. The old adage says that, you know, you cannot steal a parked car. Or steal. Yeah, you can steal a parked car. You cannot steer a parked car. Sorry. You cannot steer a parked car. You got to be moving. You got to be moving. You got to do what's right to be led by the Lord. So he will reveal his way to you. You just need to be doing what you know is right and what you know to be doing. So I like how verse 6, it talks about light. Now God is light. And it's kind of like when you read it, you're kind of, I'm weird. So I picture, you know, God puts this light over the right path for you and the things, you know, for you. It's kind of like, oh, you think of that, you know, the coming out of Egypt, pillar of light, showing the way. Putting the light bulb over the right person for you in your life, you know, I picture those things. I'm silly, I know. It's like, yeah, here he is. Yeah. Woo! But, and finally in verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. I love that. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So did he just contradict himself here? He tells us to roll. He says let's commit and do this. Yeah, he's saying rest in the Lord. So what are we supposed to do? How do we know his will to be revealed? What is it saying here? He's saying rest. So the word rest is kind of an interesting way here. Ultimately, it means do not complain or murmur. That's a hard thing sometimes. Do not complain or murmur is what he's literally saying here. So just do what you know is right to do. And let the Lord lead your way and don't complain about it. It's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be your perfect plan. You got any planners in here that want to plan out the daily schedule? You go on vacation and you just like, everything's got to be perfectly planned out. That's my daughter. That's not me. I try and be nice about it and try and know. And you know what's really funny? My job title, Senior Electrical Maintenance Planner. And I'm not a planner. Yet, that's my job title. I don't know why. But it's not always going to go to plan. And we have to be content with that. We have to be okay with God changing things. And don't complain about it. Just do what you know is right and let the Lord lead the way. Notice it says, prosper in his way. This is speaking of not allowing, you know, it's, you know, you're not allowing God to work by trying it yourself. So the plan hasn't come to fruition. You're still waiting. I waited over 5 years for my wife to finally come forth and say, let's go to New Zealand. You're still waiting. I could have forced it. I could have taken a job in New Zealand and gone there, but I can promise you one thing. She wouldn't have gone with me. Was that God's will? We're married for life. We're one. We're one unit. That's not God's will. We cannot force our will on our life. We have to let God work. Stay in his will. Stay in his word. Stay in prayer. Let him work. So I was kind of showing something really cool, really kind of neat here with this first 7 verses. If you take the first couple word or two from each verse, it says, fret not, for trust, delight, commit, and rest in the Lord. I just think that's neat. I just think, I mean, it really kind of sums it up. Fret not, for trust, delight, commit, and rest in the Lord. We have this truth in the Bible. We trust in the Word of God. We have this, it's beautiful. You know, I can't always say that I treasured the Word of God. Even as a Christian, I can't say I always treasured it. But man, the more I get into it, the more I read it, the more I study it, it's amazing. I love reading it. And you know, there's some mornings where I wake up, something doesn't go perfect, and I'm not able to just really get into the Word and study it. And it just frustrates me and everything. But I mean, I put a Bible at my desk. Just another good witnessing tool, by the way. I put a Bible there so like I can still just sneak in some words every now and then and you really get into His Word. But it's to be treasured. And we need to share it. So what do others trust in? We trust in God's Word. You know, and sometimes we trust in things we shouldn't, right? We trust in ourselves. We can't do that. We trust in others. Not always the best thing to do. Seeking wisdom from others is absolutely a good thing to do. You know, when you're studying the Bible and you don't quite get it, I mean, what? Go to someone who you know could help you with that. Learn, grow. What does the world trust in? Trust in money, trust in, I mean, we got these great sports figures that know everything, right? They, you know, think of LeBron James. We just go to him for wisdom, right? He knows it all. No. Who are they trusting in? We trusting in Joe Biden? Honestly, are we even trusting in Donald Trump? Let's not trust in those things. God's in control. God knows the end. We know the end. Let's trust in eternity. We know the truth. And what others see as truth? What is truth to the world? Truth is God's word. The world doesn't see that. They're blinded to that. They don't want to even hear it. Let's share the truth. Let's show others the truth. Tell others about it. Talked about other religions, how they're showing their truth. Mormon church is out there working hard. They have to work hard, right? Because that's how they get to heaven. You know, we don't have to work for salvation. We don't have to. But God's called us to share the gospel. We should be out there sharing the gospel. You know, I work with a Jehovah's Witness. They're out there sharing their gospel. And we've talked for hours, probably total, about what we believe and the differences and everything. I still love the man. I do. I just want him to be saved. All these religions require more than just accepting Lord as our Savior. All of them do. Yeah, we have the truth. We know. We just have to believe in our hearts and confess the Lord as our Savior. That's it. And then allow God to use us. Give our lives over to God and say, God, use me in a mighty way. Let your word be known through me. I'm a vessel. I'm a broken vessel. I'm a shattered vessel. But you can still use me in a mighty way. God loves each and every person in this world. We need to show that love, Christ's love. I mean, we could hate this world so easily. It'd be so easy just to go out there and hate every person out there. Whether, you know, they have different ideas than us. They have different ways of doing things. It's okay. Because in the end, this is what matters. God's word. I could easily go to work and just hate on my coworkers, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the atheists, everything. But how am I going to reach anyone if I'm living that hate? The hate that the world shows. The world is easily hate. That's their mantra nowadays. Hate everyone. Yet Christ loves them. Ultimately, Christ wants to see them saved. Christ wants to see Katy Perry saved, even though she dances with demons on stage. Christ wants to see Lil Nas X saved, even though he literally has come out as a Satanist. Can he save him? Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's show that love. Let's go out there and be that vessel. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, it's so easy to hate in this world. It's so easy to lose our way. But Lord, when our way is your way and we're following you and letting you lead us, we're in the right place. Just put us in that right place. Put our focus on you. Put our focus on the cross and what you've done for us, Lord. You gave your life that we can have life eternal. We just praise you so much for it, Lord. And Lord, it's so simple. It's a simple gospel, yet it came at such a high cost. Lord, your son. Let's not forget that. Let's just give our lives over to you, that you can use us to further your gospel. Now we can be a blessing to everyone that we come in contact with. We just love you and praise you today, and I pray that we can leave here with a better understanding of your word, and that we can share your gospel and live a testimony that glorifies and honors you. Pray these things in Jesus' name.